In this episode, Rich and I talk about three keys to inner peace that were given in 1958 by the Master Jesus. Welcome back to the Spiritual Freedom Show with Richard Lawrence, the show helping seekers of truth, spirituality, and psychic powers to discover true fulfillment. I'm Darren Ball, co-host of the show, and in this episode, we'll be sharing a set of simple spiritual practices that anyone can use to reach a deeper state of stillness within. We'll also be sharing how the chakras are related to inner peace and sharing the words and story of a legendary Chinese master whose timeless teachings continue to inspire and point people towards enlightenment, even after thousands of years.
Richard.
Darren. We've got a show today that I think will resonate with a lot of people, particularly because I know that, well, we both know that a lot of people lead very busy lives nowadays. And because of that, it can be difficult just to detach from that, the mental chatter, from the constant worry, from the racing thoughts you feel, especially, you know, especially at that point, you can imagine you're trying to fall asleep at night or if you're trying to prepare yourself to do your practices on a daily basis. And that's why in this show, what I wanted us to share together was three techniques that people can use for actually stilling the mind.
Right, right.
Now, these three techniques come from a spiritual text called the 12 Blessings, which were given by the Master Jesus through the mediumship of Dr. George King in 1958. So I thought I might read these live and invite you to come on and then we could discuss them.
Sure.
But is there anything you might want to say to shed the scene?
Yeah, I want to even bring in another element to what you've said, as well as people living busy lives. I would say, and from my experience, people living spiritual lives too, because I've come across a number of people, particularly service-orientated people or people who give teachings and teach others, who lose track of their inner selves and they can lose their way. I've even seen that with very experienced people. So we need to keep that flame burning, and we need to, and I could include myself in this at times too. We need to always cultivate that inner flame and seek peace within in order to maintain our path of service as well.
Yeah, I'm really glad you said that. I think it's incredibly important point. And, you know, sometimes we can dismiss practices like this as almost like, oh, that's kind of entry level, that's kind of beginner, but actually they're important throughout our journey. And it can be all too easy to forget the role of cultivating this inner stillness within.
Yeah.
So that we can, as you say, nurture that flame within us that is the very fire of our inspiration and spirituality that drives us forward in the work that we do for others.
There will be people watching this, listening to this, who are familiar with the 12 Blessings, who practice the 12 Blessings. There'll be even some who practice it every day.
Yeah.
And by practicing it, they're doing the blessings and they're doing the prayers in the 12 Blessings, which we invite people to do. We do it online and so forth. What a lot of people don't realize is there are a number of other practices in the 12 Blessings, either within a blessing or, as this one is, just after a blessing or perhaps before a blessing, which perhaps people don't even realize were practices. So read away, because this is a classic example of a practice given here by the Master Jesus in the 12 Blessings that quite a few people probably aren't using, even experienced users of the 12 Blessings.
So these words are actually from the fourth blessing, and as said, given by the Master Jesus, who says, "My children, learn stillness of body, move ye not. Learn stillness of heart. Let not the lake of peace be ruffled by violent emotion. Learn stillness of mind, for peace will not come while you move like restless animals." Now, I'd love to break this down with you, Richard, because I know just the wealth of experience and insight that you can offer here, I think will really help to reveal to people that in this, despite the simplicity of the way that it's presented here, there's actually profound spiritual truth.
Yeah.
And insight even into the practices and why they work.
Yeah.
So maybe we can start with the first one here where he says, learn stillness of body, move ye not. What, not move ye not? What do you think is the significance of that?
Well, in order to have total stillness of body is extremely difficult, actually, thing to do. You are immediately activating the mind because it's the mind that's going to bring about that stillness of body. And so by doing it, although it's the body you're focused on, the mind will be stilled in the process, and you'll start to have a feeling that you can control, a self-control of your body and your mind. But we're starting here with the body. Master Jesus is picking out the body first. So it's quite, as I say, it's not an easy thing to do. And, you know, we know people move about and they're on edge and All this is a reflection of mind. And it's what we want to do. Sometimes you need to be keyed up for certain things that you have to do, but this is now another balancing aspect which gets neglected. I think I'd like to say this, that in our world today, we have completely lost track of what relaxation is.
In
true relaxation is.
Yeah.
People think, you know, relaxation is, you know, going clubbing or going to see a football match or, and those things, I mean, I'm not myself immune to going to see a football match. It's great, but it isn't a peaceful, it's not relaxing in the strict sense.
Sure, that's true.
And so
true, yeah.
The other thing is that we are conditioned about peace and happiness. We are told, depending on our upbringing and where we come from and our culture, what it is we need to be happy.
Mm.
You know, we're told we need to have maybe certain types of material possessions. Perhaps we're told we have to have a partner. Maybe that partner has to be the opposite sex. Maybe we have to have children. Maybe we have to have a very good type of job, a prestigious job, etc. Maybe we have to follow the religion of our birth. Mm. These are things we're conditioned into and we're told, unless you do X, Y, and Z, those things, you won't be fulfilled. You won't find true fulfillment, which is what the Spiritual Freedom Show is all about, helping people to discover true fulfillment. And so we have to just realize, and you and I have talked about this before, you can find peace on one of our episodes, actually, I think it's 139.
Mm-hmm.
We give a method, again from the 12 Blessings, actually, whereby you can find it in less than 5 minutes. You don't need to do any particular kind of material pursuit. It's all within you.
Yeah.
So we're starting here, Master Jesus here, is starting with the body. One thing that I would add into the mix here, which will help you, because unless you're able to completely control and stop your breath, which, if so, give me, contact us at the show. We want to have you right here. Then you are going to be breathing. So that's the one movement you're going to have for sure. And you can regulate your breathing, and it's very, very simply done. First of all, you want to have a long and deep breath. I'm not going to go into the technical, you know, breathing practices, but simply, if you can close the mouth, do breathe through the nose. When I say if, I mean what I mean by that, if you have congestion in the nose, you might need. But if you're able to breathe through the nostrils, that's the way to do it with the mouth closed. And just take a long, slow, deep breath in. And then, and this is the key thing, an equally long, slow, deep breath out without any strain, without any force. Actually, you'll find if you try, this is the simplest thing you can imagine. I've done this in a busy bookshop in a street in London called Oxford Street.
Mm-hmm.
Just this with a group of people who were just, we call them punters here, but people coming into a shop to buy books.
Yeah.
When I was doing a book signing once. And I just simply got them to do this. It was in the rush hour in London at a busy time. And they simply breathed in and out, closed the eyes, and controlled the breath. Now, the next thing you do, and I want to add to that, I asked them to raise their hands if they felt at peace.
Mm.
And most of them did. Just doing that. They didn't have to raise their hands. You know, these weren't people I knew.
Yeah.
So you breathe in to that long, deep breath, you breathe out to that breath. And then the next time you breathe in, and if you can, you want to close the eyes, you know, be somewhere quiet. That would be ideal. But sometimes you can't. As I say, this was in a bookshop in Oxford Street.
Yeah.
Breathe a long breath in and count it mentally. 1, 2, 3, 4. Whatever breath count you come to, then when you breathe out to the same count. Very simple.
Mm-hmm.
And just try that. And this way you regulate your breathing. And you're starting to gain control over your body and the function of your body. And this taps into a higher part of yourself. Because what we're trying to do here is feed the lower aspects of ourselves from the higher aspects of ourselves.
Mm, yeah.
That's what this is all about.
Yes, yeah. Well, this, I mean, first of all, if you can do it in a bookshop, you can do it anyway. So that's all the takeaways there. But a couple of other very interesting points. I mean, one, seems like you're saying that actually it's in beginning to control our body that we can begin to control our mind.
Yeah, sure.
That's one of the instances.
Yeah.
And also, I think if you really take the stillness thing to the limit, I mean, I know that, you know, Dr. King talks about when he's talking about going into an extremely deep state of meditation, you know, the breath is becoming extremely long and almost where you're not breathing. The heart even is slowing down, the almost not breathing. And that's even a, you know, extreme degree of stillness that is being achieved from that moment.
Yeah. And when you enter the higher states, you need to hold the breath in. There's various things you'll need to do. But this is at the moment, anyone can do this. It's completely safe to do it. It's good for you. I think even it's recommended by some medical practitioners as well. It is a very safe thing. But you will find, as you were saying there, that as you practice this, your breath will lengthen. I mean, I would personally go a lot further than this.
Sure.
And I do breathing exercises every day still. And they are more than this. I mean, one can either locate a particular nostril and so forth. But at this early stages, just getting started, that will start to bring stillness of body.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Now, he goes on to the next point here, and he says, learn stillness of heart. Let not the lake of peace be ruffled by violent emotion. So what do you think he's tapping into there?
I think that's a massive one. Stillness of heart. What he's tapping into, really, because the heart is technically governed by the heart chakra.
Mm.
And the heart chakra is actually not on the left-hand side, but in the center, put it in a similar location, but in the center, in the aura.
Okay.
And the heart chakra is a seat of consciousness. It's a seat of love, true love. Strange thing, when one is kind, when one is gentle, when one is tolerant, when one is merciful, even when one is patient and when one is humble, those qualities will not lead to emotion. In fact, they can still emotion. Mercifulness and forgiveness, if you like, in particular, if you are able to forgive someone who's wronged you, you'll feel a great peace. If you hold a grudge against them and you can't forgive them and so on, you're holding that emotion within you. You're keeping it alive. If you seek revenge, likewise, it's not an easy thing to do, but if you can do it, but also you'll then start to be tapping into, no more than that, the function of the heart chakra. And this is a higher thing than what you might call lower mind.
Sure.
From a chakra point of view, okay. Those who are interested in chakras. Carl Jung was, interestingly, a psychologist. He wrote a book, he wrote a paper on the chakras. But basically, the turbulent mind that is talked about there, the violent emotions, are in lower chakras.
Yeah.
Particularly probably the solar plexus center. It's a misuse of it. Those kinds of emotions are at a lower center. When you tap into a higher one, then it will start to still the lower one.
Mm.
And there are various ways you can do that. So I've mentioned some of the qualities. There's also drawing down to yourself. There's only one energy in the universe. And if you draw that down to yourself, it manifests as peace, particularly if it comes from a higher source.
Mm-hmm.
So the higher source, and ultimately we're talking about the soul, comes from the spirit, you might say, through the soul to your lower parts. That brings a certain peace. What you're doing, you're starting to tap into higher aspects of your own being, because on this planet we suffer from soul repression. And this of itself brings peace. Another thing that will bring peace is actually listening to your conscience. Now, that can be a very painful thing to do if you're really brutally honest with yourself. It can almost physically hurt, certainly in my case. When one really faces one's mistakes and the things one's done that aren't right. So here's a strange thing. Right in the middle of feeling guilty, you can feel a great sense of peace at the same time.
Because you've come to terms.
Because you are reconciling yourself with your conscience. And then particularly if you govern your actions from then on in accordance with that, this will bring peace to you as well. These are ways you can do it. But if you're sitting there in stillness, you don't suppress your thoughts, but you start to bring down this energy. One thing you could do with the practice I gave, the deep breathing, is when you're breathing in, start to just visualize white light
is in
coming into the whole of your being. And by the way, I say white because it contains all the colors of the spectrum, and within that you'll draw the energy you really need.
Got it.
So you bring that in. You try to feel, if you can, a sense of love, even for your own lower aspects.
Mm.
You draw this into you. You're feeding yourself. And then on the out-breath, you feel cleansed. You release. You don't release bad energies out into the ethers, as it were. You don't want to be doing that. But you just release the energy. You release the light. So you draw it in on the in-breath, and you release it on the out-breath.
Mm. That's a beautiful practice that you just added in there. I think it sounds to me essentially what one of the key points we're talking about here is that living in accordance with our conscience, or reconciling ourselves with our conscience if we haven't done that. Mm. Somewhat we all, of course, done that in various ways. But there's one way in which we can bring this stillness to heart.
Absolutely. And people will know that, I think. I mean, when you've accomplished something for others, whatever that may be, particularly people who you have no, as it were, vested emotional interest in. You've just done it for others. And you've gone above and beyond perhaps your paid requirements, if it is a job you're doing. And it might be a voluntary thing. And you do feel this great sense of peace. You're not, I want to throw this in though, you're not meant to stay in peace permanently.
Mm.
And that's another thing I think that some of the ancients actually got wrong. And they thought once they'd entered a stage of enlightenment, they had to like stay there for 24 hours a day. You leave it. It's in the 12 blessings too, and it's elsewhere in the nine freedoms as well. You leave it, but you leave it to serve. Mm. The wonderful thing about finding peace within, you don't lose it. And this is the difference between this and a material pleasure or sensation. You know, you have a great meal, you can have a great event and entertainment or whatever it might be, a physical activity of one kind or another. And yes, you can remember it afterwards and you remember enjoying it. But the sensation, the pleasure, once it's done, it's exhausted, it's gone. But if you create peace within you, it's there. That becomes your home.
Mm.
Now you have to leave your home, and you leave it because you have to go out probably and work or serve, do essential things. If you leave it for the right reason, especially service to others, and then you come home after you finish that again, it's still there.
Mm. I think that's a beautiful analogy. And I think, you know, that's a very inspiring thought to live your everyday life with, to know that there is a home, which is for you, which is essentially peace.
Mm-hmm.
And to have the right motive and to be able to be leading it every day, as you say, and that this ultimately leads to the stillness of heart, because in that way we can be living our life in accordance with our conscience.
Yeah, and you know, in the New Age movement and in mind-body-spirit movement, you get some people, not all, who kind of say, oh, you shouldn't have guilt. You shouldn't, you know, that guilt is a bad thing. And of course, inappropriate guilt is guilt that's conditioned guilt that's put upon us by any particular religion or culture that isn't right. That is a wrong thing.
Mm.
But guilt that comes from your own higher self is a doorway to enlightenment.
Well, that's a profound point. That's a clip right there. Let's move on to this last point here that he makes about stillness of mind. And the words he says are, learn stillness of mind, for peace will not come while you move like restless animals. So what's this next kind of stage that he's talking about?
So now we're talking about controlling the mind. So we've now gone, as it were, from our sort of basic breathing exercises, which I'm introducing here.
Yeah, sure.
Balanced breathing, bringing the white light to us. Now you have to concentrate. And there's a wonderful image. Now, I apologize to any vegans, vegetarians who don't agree with eating fish here.
Sure. Good.
I'm only, this is an old analogy, but it's a very, it just happens to be a very good one. So I'm not advocating fishing at this moment in time, although personally I eat fish, but that's a personal choice. But this is an image of fishing.
Mm.
And this is how it's actually taught by Dr. King. And I think it's actually brilliant myself.
Mm.
It's very, very simple. Don't try and suppress the mind. It doesn't actually work. You've got to bring control over the mind. And he says, what you do is like casting a line out to a fish. And you have the line. The fish is the thought, or the thought patterns, if you like. And you let the line reel out. And then once the fish has grabbed hold of it, you've got a solid on the bait, then you draw it in. If you do it too quickly, you'll lose it. Mm. That's the image. It's what it is, I've discovered, is something, it's to do with how you what you feel. You will know, you'll start to know when to reel it in.
I see.
First of all, though, and this is the key point, you don't try and suppress the... I could talk for the next hour, but don't worry, I won't. Yeah. About the issue of suppressing thought.
Yeah.
Because it's big. It was taught. And I can see why it was taught. And I understand why it was taught by the ancients. It's in yoga, some yoga. You'll find it in many translations of Patanjali, that you suppress thought in order to take yourself higher. And it's what I've done it myself. But in the end, though, all thought has to be transmuted. We'll get into a deep philosophical discussion here. But for the individual who wants to do what the Master Jesus says there, you allow these thoughts to come. And they will come. And you might, some people who start concentrating, concentration's the bedrock of advancement.
Mm-hmm.
Without that, you won't get anywhere.
Yeah.
Even if you become psychic, if you don't have good concentration, it won't be accurate. I can be definite about that. So you have to have good concentration. And this is the way, this fishing line image is the way to do it. So you let the line reel out, and then you'll know, you'll start to, with practice, you'll go, right, now I'm ready. And then you reel it in, which means all the while you're focused on one thing. So you aren't in a blank state.
Sure.
You're concentrating. It almost doesn't matter what you concentrate on, by the way, but it's great, I think, to concentrate on something spiritual. So I would choose a mantra, or you might choose an affirmation, like I am divine spirit, or even I am controlling my mind and my body, which is a positive affirmation to do just what we're talking about here. Whatever it is, there are many affirmations you can use, or it might be a line from a book. Or it might be an object. Often people will use a candle flame. Or it might be a keyhole. Whatever it is, though,
Sean,
what you're seeking is single-pointed, focused concentration on one object. That's where you start.
Yeah, so. That's a great point of clarity for people, because you're right, there is this misconception that actually you're trying to blank your mind.
But yeah, no.
You're trying to focus your mind.
Yeah, it's the opposite. So you do get people who do blank their mind and can enter a trance state and can be taken over and be possessed, which has happened, and sometimes even get a mediumistic result through blanking their mind. But it's a very dangerous thing to do, and it will only take you so far, and you won't be controlling it.
Right.
And the concentration gives you the control, and you could still... If you take it far enough, and so you have to take it quite a way, you can reach a point where you can induce a trance yourself. And it's completely under your control. You can switch it on, switch it off.
Well, that point of control, I think, is a good one, because it kind of that theme of sort of self-mastery and self-control kind of flows throughout these points.
But if we're going back to your original premise of people have cluttered minds and thoughts and so on, this is a way, this fishing line image, of you starting to gain control, you're reeling it in, and you do it by focusing on one thing. Say, I would probably make it a mantra. You could make it a prayer. It's really up to you, but whatever it is, you stay with that. But when all the other thoughts come in, you don't try and block them out. You let them come in until you're ready, and then you, as it were, move on. You then move up a notch. That's when you're reeling it in, and you bring yourself back just to what you're thinking about. And gradually, it will still. The mind will start to still, and you'll find the peace you're looking for.
I think that's an extremely practical tips and insights there. So if you've been listening to this and you have anything that you want to share about trying that, your experience you might have had, please do write into the show at spiritualfreedom@richardlawrence.co.uk. Now, before we come to the end here, Richard, I thought I'd just share a little bit about the person of the week that we wanted to tell.
Oh, yes.
And a little bit of, quote, well, actually not a quote of theirs, but someone who came after them, but in the same philosophy.
Yes.
So the quote, which is attributed to Lao Tzu, but is actually to someone who followed later in his footsteps, is this one: "To the mind that is still, the whole universe surrenders."
Yeah, I've seen that on posters. Yeah, it is a great quote, and it's true as well.
Yeah, okay, he may not have said that exactly those words.
No.
Translations, but there's a beautiful message there, I think.
Yeah, and there are a lot of quotes like that, by the way. I think I'm right in saying the quote, "As you sow, so shall you reap." I don't think it's comes from Jesus in the Bible anyway. I think it comes from St. Paul. I could be wrong, but that doesn't mean it didn't come from Jesus in the first place. So this may have come from the outside.
Point,
yeah.
But I think there's a beautiful message there. I mean, one you know, when I think about it, one thing that comes to me is that, you know, in this idea of the universe surrendering, it's almost like to the mind that is still, the mystery of the universe can become known to
us. Yeah. Well, that's actually, it could be literally true. You've got to use the word surrenders in the right context. You know, you have total access to it, or it might be another way of using that word. Because ultimately, if you were completely still, and if you had transmuted all these thoughts, these lower thoughts entirely, and taken them all up to the highest chakra again in the aura, you would enter a state called cosmic consciousness, and in that you become one with the universe anyway. But that's taking it to it. That I think we don't need to go to that level at the moment, but that's the ultimate possibility for people. But certainly in the early stages, there is nothing that you can't access. All mind becomes available to you, and certainly peace. And so all these conflicting thoughts within you, let's start with those, the chatter, the thing we started with, that will all subside, which you might say it surrenders to your stillness. And it isn't the stillness. I mean, silence is stillness. And, you know, that's a wonderful thing. True silence is, in true silence and complete stillness is God. If you could find that.
Yeah.
There'd be a vacuum at that point, really. But striving to get towards that goal, then all these lower thoughts and all these, you know, the people I mentioned that I have come across, you know, over the years who perhaps are dedicated workers for the light, but have stopped going within, stopped tapping into this stillness within, and they exhaust their batteries, and they can drift off the path easily if they're not careful, or lose their way, or forget why they're doing it. So they're just going through the motions.
Sure.
This will recharge you. This will rejuvenate. This will remind you, or you will remind yourself.
Yeah.
While you're on this path.
It's a beautiful way to end. Thank you very much, Richard.
Thank you.
Now, what I enjoyed about that episode was the inspiration to go within and experience the state of inner peace in a stillness in a more profound way, because it opens the door to real peace, to real love, and even the ability to give more in whatever service work that we may be doing in helping others. We can all follow this very simple outline given in the teachings of the Master Jesus in the 12 Blessings in 1958. To experience stillness of body, to experience stillness of heart, to experience stillness of mind. And no matter where we are on this journey, whether at the beginning of it or much further along, it's inspiring to know, I think, that we are all on the journey towards a state of profound, complete inner stillness, which is cosmic consciousness, when we know that we are one with the universe. Now, if you enjoyed that episode about making time to go within, then be sure to subscribe or follow us for more shows in future exploring spiritual practices and wisdom that can help you on your journey towards true fulfillment. Thanks for tuning into the show, and see you next time.